I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hour number two of our radio program, and we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams. With their help, they could help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We're now going to spend a few minutes with BYU's head coach and Mark Pope on his first year on the job with the program as the HC. They had a big victory over the weekend, defeating Gonzaga by a score of 91-78. And that did snap Gonzaga's 40-game win streak in conference play. And Mark Pope is here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Coach, thanks for the time, and how are you?
Zach, I'm good, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on. So there's one thing to win a basketball game and defeat Gonzaga. There's another thing to go buy the fans, the students that were at the game, some food afterwards for dinner. Take me through that story and how it came about, Coach.
Oh, man, I lost my mind. So, you know, these kids have been camping out for two nights. You know, it's cold here in the Rocky Mountains. And so, you know, it's 30 degrees out. They're sleeping outside, you know, surrounded the Marriott Center for a couple of nights. In fact, we played Thursday, and they went straight out and jumped in tents, stayed there Thursday night and Friday night. And so Friday night, we let them come into the gym and warm up, had a little pep rally. And it was the entire student section. It was unbelievable. And so I'm talking to them, getting them hyped up, and I lost my mind, and I'm like, we win this game tomorrow, we're all going to dinner together. Tommy's a restaurant here. And so then, you know, you're lost the next day, you're lost in the game. After the game, I had to do press conference and media and radio and everything, and then talk to the team, and I had some recruits in. So I'm meeting with the recruits, and all of a sudden my ops guy's like, Coach, we've got a problem. There's like 200 students down at Cubbies, man. There's like a mob scene. They're waiting for you to come. So we had a race down there. It was so fantastic. It cost me a pretty penny, but it was worth every dime. It was awesome.
How much did the bill run you, Coach?
It was a good 1,800, my friend.
1,800? So. Wow.
So, you know, my wife is not super happy with me, but it's the cost of doing business. This is a community effort. And the truth is our student section, the Rock, the Roar of the Cougar, is like nothing you've ever seen. So we're playing St. Mary's at home. You know, they're behind the basket, and they're like 7,500, 8,000 strong. And they are insane. So we're playing St. Mary's at home a few weeks ago, and St. Mary's, when they're shooting at the opposite basket in the first half, they're 5-for-5 from the free throw line. And then in the second half, they're 4-for-9. We end up winning the game on a last-second shot. I mean, this student section is unbelievable, and they help us win. It was awesome.
You must have been a hero when you're walking into the restaurant to throw your credit card down for $1,800, because I'm not that far removed from college. I know you were once a college student at Kentucky. You get something free at college, and it's like you won the lottery.
Well, that was the thing. I was like, nobody remembers that I said that. That was before the game, but they remember, man. They were. And here's the thing. So I roll in there, and you know these youngsters these days, everything happens on social media now. So I roll in there, and there's like 200 kids. Well, for the next hour, people are rolling in. People that are not even BYU fans are just jumping in line, kind of getting a free dinner. It was incredible. So, like I said, cost of doing business, it was well worth it.
How many selfies did you take that night?
Yeah, a lot, and it was so enjoyable. You know, one of the things about this BYU program that's just incredible is people just care, right? They care so much here, and then everywhere we go. It's you know, we don't travel well. There's BYU fans everywhere. So, you know, we go play in our non-conference game. Like, we went and played at Houston, at the University of Houston. There's two sections at the University of Houston gym, total BYU fans. They're just homegrown in Houston, right? So everywhere we go, and it means so much to people. And so it makes it really fun for us as a program to try and win and make them feel like they had a great experience.
Mark Pope here with us. He's the men's basketball coach for the 17th-ranked BYU team that had a huge victory over the weekend against Gonzaga. And you're 100% right on that. I went to a Princeton-BYU game a few years ago in Princeton, New Jersey at Jabin Gymnasium, and I couldn't believe how many BYU fans were there. It's really something.
Yeah, it's pretty special. It's a unique thing about this program, and it makes it really fun.
So what was the difference from the first time you guys played Gonzaga and lost 92-69 to this time around on Saturday when you beat them 91-78?
Well, there was a lot. You know, probably starting with 19,000 crazy fans, right? Supporting us.
That were hungry too, right?
Yeah, they'd been fasting because they wanted to put the tab on me. And so that clearly makes a big difference. Our gym is a really special place to play. It's a hard place to go on the road and play. Equally or bigger difference was the fact that we had Yoli Childs this time. He's kind of the face of our program, and you know, he was out with a really severely compound dislocation of his finger, so he missed the game at Gonzaga, but was able to play here, and he obviously makes us different. And probably the third most important thing was just our guys focused down the stretch. You know, in the last month, they've been unbelievable all season long, chasing, trying to accomplish something special. But, you know, we lost a game at San Francisco a month ago. And, you know, we were up 15 and we just kind of lost our minds. And I was an awful, awful coach down the stretch. And we gave up that game. And, you know, the guys have responded incredibly well. I think we're 8 in a row now. And, including wins over St. Mary's and Gonzaga and some great teams, and have put ourselves in a great position. With that last, most recent loss is a real catalyst for our guys to finally galvanize us and be committed to guarding, right? It's so important for us, and our guys are trying.
I know you were at BYU from 2011 to 2015, then became the head coach at Utah Valley. This team, though, and now you're back at BYU first year as the head coach, this team has a ton of seniors, so that's got to be a cool environment to be around, to see these guys in their final weeks of college basketball. But for you, how is that relationship coming back to the program and being that first-year head coach with a group that are seniors and expect to be making a little run in the NCAA tournament?
Well, it's been a real blessing. I mean, you know, I think any coach would be excited to be able to coach here and coach this group of guys. And their road has not been easy. This team has never been ranked. No player on this team's ever been ranked. No player on this team's ever been in the NCAA tournament. It's been a hard road for them. And so, so for them to hang in there, you know, Yoli Childs was, he had an incredible offer, overseas on the table, when I got here, to make a lot of money. And, Jake Toulson, who transferred in here this summer, you know, he's being recruited by Duke and Virginia and everybody else. And, you know, TJ Hawes had stuck with the program through some personal trying times here. And, you know, Alex Barcelo transferred and joined us. And you just think of all these guys, they all, you know, either came back or stayed or jumped in. And all, you know, none of them had got where they were dreaming of going, and we have a chance right now. We have a chance. We have a chance to play in this tournament. We have a chance to make some noise in the WCC tournament. And, these guys have earned the right to kind of feel an immense amount of pressure right now. And there's no team that's happier about that than ours. These guys have been working towards this, hoping for this and fighting for this for four and some guys 5 to 6 years, depending on if they transferred or served a mission for the church. And so it's been a long time coming, and I think these guys are really excited about seizing the moment.
Mark Pope here with us. His basketball team, BYU, ranked 17th in the country. And as a coach, sometimes you worry when you have a program that hasn't been to the tournament since 2014 to 2015 season. You wonder when your kids have success if there will be some complacency. But with all that you just said, that's probably not a worry of yours, right?
Well, you know, the definition of is that you worry about everything. So I'm hyper paranoid, so I always worry about everything, but I shouldn't worry so much, because that's what you get with seniors. You get guys that have kind of been through it and are, you know, that you end up being a little bit more laser focused, especially by the end of your senior year. You know, sometimes the beginning or the middle of the senior year can be hard as the reality sets in, but I do think my guys are just so hungry right now. You know, they've waited and worked a long time for this, so they're so far from satisfied about winning a few games or being ranked. This is not why they came back. They all made sacrifices to come back or stay, and so they're hungry to take the biggest swing at this they possibly can, and they're fighting for each other right now, so it's pretty fun.
You had an NBA career for a little bit, and then you went on the assistant coaching route in college with Georgia, Wake Forest, BYU, and like we said, eventually became the head coach of Utah Valley, and now back at BYU as the head man. When did you realize, Mark Pope, that you wanted to be a college basketball head coach?
It was a little bit of a long and winding road. So, you know, when I finished, I was the worst player to ever put on Jerry West to ever play in that league, like, no doubt. And by some miracle, I just bounced around for a long time. I played professional basketball for a decade, right? Go figure. But the good thing for us, my wife, Leanne, and I, we're every single stop, we're thinking, okay, they're going to fire us any day. What are we going to do? So we went back to school, took all post-bac classes, and then as soon as we were done, we enrolled in medical school, went to Columbia, PNS, and I finished my third year. I was working towards the start of my fourth year, and Mark Fox, who's a dear friend, just leaving Nevada and taking the Jewish team. We've been talking for a long time, and I'm really not that smart enough to be a doctor. You know, I've kind of missed the game desperately. And so he took the job at Georgia. He's like, hey, if you want to come, you come, you know, fold laundry and be an assistant ops guy. And so Leanne and I, we struggled with that thought for a month. We kind of fought ourselves on it. And finally we're like, we're going to go. And I'll never forget walking. I mean, Columbia is one of the top medical schools in the world, right? So I walked into my Dean Melman. I'll never forget. And I sat down and I told her, I'm like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go be an assistant ops guy and essentially fold laundry and hand out water for a basketball team at the University of Georgia. She thought I had lost my mind. And the whole thing was nerve-wracking. But I jumped in the car, drove to Georgia, stepped on the court to work an elite camp that Foxy had just got there and started up. And it was an hour in, and I was like, I was born to do this, man. I don't know if I'm going to be any good at it, but I love it. And every minute since we started doing that, it has brought so much joy to me and my family. And we love it. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to coach these young men.
Awesome, awesome story with Mark Pope. And you got to do what you want to do and enjoy in life. And that's what makes it extra fun. And your team's having a whole lot of fun. When I look at your team right away, you realize you're right at the top at 3-point percentage in the country. So we know that's a strength for your team. Give me another strength or two. And what's one thing you think your team still needs to improve on in a big way?
Well, we talk about this all the time as a strength. We're trying to have the best locker room in America, and that might sound vague, but what my guys have done so successfully all season long is, among other things in the locker room, they've been able to wake up every morning, because it is a daily decision, to fight, to put camp down their own personal agendas and sacrifice for this team. And every guy on this team has done it, and they've been willing to do it, and they're reaping the rewards right now. This team is so together. It really, I don't know if I've ever been a part of a team exactly like this, where everybody is setting aside their own personal agendas to fight for the team. So that is an incredible strength that has shown itself a lot during the season. We've needed it. Of course, you know, one of the things is, you know, we're not very big. We have some, you know, we have some frontline depth issues that are working themselves out now if we can all get healthy. So that's a concern. And then the defensive end of the ball is really the key for us. You know, if our guys, you know, we don't have a lot of makeup ability that some teams have where you have length and athleticism and you can make up for mistakes. We have to play a nearly flawless defensive concept game for us to be really competitive, and that takes unbelievable focus and energy, and our guys are trying to do it right now. But that is the area, you know, that is the difference maker for us. We need to be able to win some games on the defensive end, and our guys are working hard to try to be able to do that.
You played some really talented teams this year, Kansas, San Diego State. You played Gonzaga, like we're talking about, twice. Who's the best team you think you've faced this year, Mark Pope?
Oof, that's really hard. These Zags, I think these Zags are as good as anybody in America. I really do. Their front line is so physical and so powerful. So they're absolutely terrific. And their backcourt is so fast. They're the fastest backcourt in transition that we played against. We went up to you know, to their place and played. And we were in the game until about seven minutes had gone away in the second half, and then they just went on a tear in transition, and we just couldn't respond. They're so fast. I think they're a great team. This Kansas team is probably, Kansas has got such extraordinary length through their whole roster, and they're obviously incredibly physical down low. And the San Diego State team, you know, they might shoot the ball in their backcourt as well as anybody. And the only thing that I said is that I still have PTSD. We played them early in the season, and we were up five with a couple minutes left, and they banked three threes in a row. And then I was, I'd been on the job for 2 weeks, and all of Cougar Nation was like, we got to fire this cat, man. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. Get this coach out of here. So all three of those teams are really, really special, and I'm sure they're all going to have incredible successful runs in the tournament.
So for the next big victory, what are you going to promise the students, just wondering?
I don't know, man. I'm going to Tom Homo to see if I get a pay raise. I gotta pay for this credit card bill. So
I think you'll be fine.
Maybe it'll be something like a potluck at the Pope House where we can have some free food contributions. But whatever we have to do to keep this Rock involved, man, because they make a difference. They help us win games. It is just, it's real. So it's special.
Family size should be your motto for now on. Last one for Mark Pope. Coach, before we let you run, that 1996 championship team at Kentucky that you were a part of, all these years later, what do you take away from that run?
Well, it was, I'll tell you what, I wish every player could have a chance to experience that. I say that for a couple of reasons. One is because it was so special. Like, every moment of the entire run is just indelibly inked in my mind and heart forever. And then the best part of it is these guys that I got to go through that with, they're still some of my closest friends in the whole world. And even when we don't see each other for 10 years, you walk into the room together 10 years later, and it's just like we haven't missed a beat. It's just a brotherhood that's so special. It's the best part about basketball.
Coach, we really do appreciate it. Good luck. It's been such a great story at BYU this year. Congratulations, and best of luck moving forward.
Thanks, Zach. Have a great day.
There's Mark Pope, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. What a story. $1,800 down, students fed after a big victory up against Gonzaga on Saturday. We know who now is the big man on campus at BYU, and it is Mark Pope. We'll take a timeout. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. D-Ben, when were you at Columbia, just wondering?
2007 to 2011.
Did you know of Mark Pope at Columbia by any shot?
I absolutely did not.
I was just wondering, I didn't know if you guys were possibly classmates, because if he was at Georgia, got there in 2009, you guys could have overlapped, right?
I didn't do a lot of mingling with the med students.
The snobs, the med student snobs,
yeah.
No?
Exactly. What was undergrad your major? Was like the lowest of the low there.
Yeah.
Every other grad school is freaking amazing, so everyone's looking down on you when you're an undergrad there.
You were a communications major?
They don't have that. I would have been. I was a history major.
See, this is what you know about Columbia then. I was a communications major. I took the easiest level of communications at Temple University. I didn't even do journalism because you had to take an extra seminar, a senior seminar. I did media studies and production because it was the easiest form of communications possible. At Columbia, they go, communications? No, all of our students know how to communicate. We do not need any form of that. So Mark Pope, he was going to become a doctor, right? A med student. And the next thing you know, he gets a call, come to Georgia, boom, he's there. Goes on from Georgia to Wake Forest to BYU, becomes the head coach at Utah Valley, then the head coach at BYU, snaps the win streak for Gonzaga over the weekend, and then is dropping $1,800 at a local establishment on campus to feed all the students. This guy's living on cloud nine. $1,800, you know, I'm sure he's not like one of the highest paid coaches ever, but still, I think he can afford on his salary the $1,800. That's the ultimate hero move. He's probably walking in. All the students are probably like, Pope, 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 Pope. He's smacking hands, you know, probably tied. He's like all messed up, white shirt, untucked. Hey, we got the victory. Who wants a burger? Who wants some fries? Who wants a milkshake? That's what he was probably doing. Living on cloud nine. What a story. What energy from Mark Pope. BYU, that may be the official team of the Zach Gelb Show for the NCAA tournament. We've had a lot of great coaches on. The energy of Mark Pope with all those storylines, with a senior team, number one in three-point percentage, if their shot's on in the NCAA tourney, and you have Bill Raftery screaming, ooh, a little onions on those burgers, coach, then guess what? That BYU team could have some success in the tourney. And that conference, you know, with Gonzaga, it's sometimes tough to get multiple teams in. They're 17th in the nation. They're going dancing in March. If they're not dancing in March, I'll be throwing food. I'll be starting a food fight with the NCAA selection committee. Wow. And you see the schedule they played too. With Gonzaga and San Diego State and Kansas. That's some basketball team. It really is. And that's a huge victory over the weekend to secure that and then to celebrate with your fans. I love that conversation with Mark Pope. Chris Holtman from Ohio State's men's basketball program, they're top 25 as well, and that's another special story. At one point, they lost like 6 out of 7, and now they're doing a nice job, and they've won 6 out of their last 8 games. They beat Maryland over the weekend, so Chris Holtman's going to join us coming up in a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get to Mitch Trubisky. So Mitch Trubisky is entering his fourth year in the National Football League. It's been underwhelming, his time as the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. And you get into one of these first-round quarterbacks, and you get into that conversation of the fifth-year option. And when you look at that fifth-year option, the Bears have until May 30th to decide if they want to exercise that fifth-year option for not this upcoming season because it's fourth year, but the year after for Mitch Trubisky. And if the Bears do that, that means they're going to owe Mitch Trubisky approximately $24 million in his fifth year. There is no way the Chicago Bears can do that. Ryan Pace could sit there at the combine today in Indianapolis and say, we believe in Mitch and all that, that's fine. But with what we've seen so far, you need to give yourself some insurance. And the insurance here would be declining that fifth year option and not paying him $24 million coming up for his fifth year in the National Football League. And if you get into a predicament where you decline the option and Mitch Trubisky gets motivated and he balls out this year and he looks like he could be a franchise quarterback that you thought you were getting with the second overall pick when you traded up from the third spot with the 49ers and the 49ers moved back one spot, then you're going to eventually have to pay him after that fourth year. But right now, with what we're seeing out of Mitch Trubisky, I don't have a reason to believe that Mitch Trubisky is going to be a franchise quarterback. So why in your right mind, if you're the Chicago Bears and you're doing smart business, why would you say with what we've seen so far, yeah, by May 30th, we're going to give Mitch Trubisky that fifth-year option and give him $24 million? It makes absolutely zero sense. And it doesn't mean that just because you decline the option that you're moving on from Mitch Trubisky, if he plays well next year, then that's a good problem to have. You want to be in that position. But for the Chicago Bears this year, they are a football team that was disappointing last year, coming off a very successful season when they got to the playoffs, lost with a double doink. You need to get back to the postseason. And what you need to do is bring in a quarterback that isn't going to take over right away, but he's going to challenge and push Mitch Trubisky and gives you insurance that if Trubisky doesn't work, then you have what transpired in Tennessee this past year, where you pull the plug on Mariota, you get new life with Ryan Tannehill, and then there is a new sort of confidence and sense of confidence with that football team. But if the Bears give Trubisky that fifth-year option before May 30th, they're out of their minds. And the only reason you do that is because you have an ego and you can't admit you're wrong if you're Ryan Pace. And Ryan Pace was the one who fell in love with Trubisky, was very secretive about the process. He passed up on Mahomes. I'm not giving him a pass for that, but no one thought Mahomes would be this great. But the person I still can't believe, and I don't understand why he passed up on, was Deshaun Watson. Because I saw what Deshaun Watson did in college, and I never understood why Trubisky was taken second overall. So do not, I can't be more crystal clear enough, do not pay Mitch Trubisky that fifth-year option. You decline it, you make him earn it this year, and if he plays great, then you get into the contract extension after this upcoming season, and that's the smart gamble that you should have, and that's what you should do when you're rolling the dice when you look at the contract situation of Mitchell Trubisky. It's the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio, 33 after the hour. And when we come back, Chris Holtmann's Ohio State men's basketball team had a big victory on Sunday up against Maryland. The Big Ten has been on fire the entire season. We'll learn more about the Buckeyes on the other side with their head men's basketball coach.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. The Zach Gelb Show is on the air across the nation on CBS Sports Radio. Here's Zach Gelb.
It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's spend a few minutes learning about the Ohio State Buckeyes. Their men's basketball program is in the top 25, 23rd in the AP poll currently. Chris Holtmann is their head men's basketball coach in his third year with Ohio State. And the Buckeyes had a huge victory over the weekend up against top 10 Maryland, defeating them 79-72. And their head men's basketball coach and Chris Holtmann joins us right now on the Zach Gelb Show. Coach, congratulations for the victory up against Maryland. Thanks for the time, and how are you?
Sure thing. Yeah, it's good to be with you, Zach.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So first things first, before we get to your team, this conference, and I know the Big Ten Conference always brings it in basketball, but this year, it's really something. Each and every weekend I'm watching, or weeknights too, and yep. I don't get how you guys coach through this because there's so many great teams in this conference.
It'll wear you out now. I mean, it is as grueling of a league as I've ever been a part of. It's the best league I've ever been a part of. You know, I was a part of a league one year in the Big East where 7 of 10 teams made it to the NCAA tournament. But just the sheer number of games that we now play, 20 in this league, Zach, and just the quality and the depth of teams is unlike anything I've seen. I've heard multiple people say it's the deepest they've seen the league in ever in 40, 50 years. I think you could make the argument maybe other years there were more teams in the Big Ten that maybe, you know, were top five in the country, but the depth of the league is unprecedented.
And you know it, winning on the road in this league is not easy. It's tough to find losses, you know, for when you take a look for teams playing at home.
Yeah, it is. I think, And it speaks to, you know, that speaks to the parity as well. I think the reality is when you're, you know, when you're in a league that has great depth, your home advantage is always going to be a little more significant. And I think that's what we've seen this year, which is the number of quality teams where they're pretty even. I mean, right now you have kind of a, you have obviously Maryland with a two-game lead, but after that it's between like second and I think 10th or 11th, there's only a two-game difference. So it's pretty amazing.
How many teams do you think are going to go to the tourney this year out of the Big Ten, Coach?
You know, I'm certainly not a bracketologist by any stretch, but I think you know, right now, from what I've heard people, you know, say 11 have a chance. Whether that number will be whittled down to, you know, 9 or 10, I wouldn't say by any stretch. I don't think we'll have any less than 9. But will it be 10 or 11, I think, is the question.
Let me ask you about three programs and just three coaches, and there's a lot of coaches to be impressed by in your conference, but you look at Michigan with Juwan Howard, and you're number one, and we know Martelli's a big factor in that as well. Steve Peichel with Rutgers, and then what Pat Chambers is doing at Penn State. You know, you being in that conference of the Big Ten, how about what Michigan, Rutgers, and Penn State's doing right now?
Yeah, all three are really good and have done a great job. I think, you know, Pat's situation, it's a real credit to, I think, just his administration that they've seen. He's had really good teams that have just really kind of been on the brink of the NCAA tournament. A couple years ago, our first year at Ohio State, we played them, and they beat us. We were 15-3 in the Big Ten, and two of those losses were to them. I thought they were a very good team. They were right on the fringe of the tournament. They went on actually and won the NIT. Last year they had a much better team than kind of just what their record ended up being. But Pat's had them fighting all the way till the end, and you knew that they were going to be. They always play extremely hard. Same thing with all three of those teams. Those three programs all have played extremely hard this year. They're good. They're going to play in the tournament. But you're particularly happy for a program like Pat, who's been there for a while and you know, is going to get a chance to break through.
Chris Holtmann is here with us. His team in the top 25, 23rd in the country, had the huge victory over the weekend up against Maryland. You guys went through a stretch, though, Coach, where you lost 6 out of 7, and now you've won 6 out of your last 8. What turned around with your team from that stretch where you went on that losing streak?
You know, I think it was just it was a combination of things. I think we went through a difficult stretch of the schedule, for one, I think that made it very difficult. And you know, you night in, night out, you mentioned Rutgers, Penn State, Michigan. You're playing such well coached teams night in, night out in this league. Obviously those three come to mind, but you're playing such well coached older veteran, and sometimes the schedule gets the best of you. I think for us, you know, we've had a few more games here at home, and we're doing some things better. There's no question. But you know, that stretch began with playing a non-conference game against West Virginia in a neutral site. So people ask me, "What would you learn during that stretch?" I said, "Well, you probably don't play a top 15 team right before you resume conference play in the best conference in the country. That's probably not the smartest thing to do right before you tip off for your January schedule."
And you beat Kentucky, though, before that. That wasn't that bad.
No, that was great. Yeah, we had a great non-conference. Listen, we wanted to play a really, really challenging non-conference. You know, and you look at the teams that we play, we wanted to try to play as many NCAA tournament teams as possible. When you look at it with opening with Cincinnati, and then you have Villanova, and obviously North Carolina's down, but going there, Kentucky, West Virginia, you've got at least 4 or 5 NCAA tournament teams there. And, you know, we were able to beat several of them. That's why we had such a good non-conference season.
And that probably has to build confidence, too, when you go through that losing streak and you have, you know, some losses back-to-back-to-back that your kids could really pull from earlier in the season, like you're saying, beating Cincinnati, beating Villanova, going to UNC, getting a victory, it probably makes it, you know, a little bit easier in the back of those kids' minds that, hey, we know we have a very good team here. We just got to get back to what we were doing earlier in the season.
Yeah, I think, you know, listen, there are ebbs and flows in every season. Coaches understand that. Doesn't mean it's any easier to go through. You know, coaches are not, because we've been through it, we're not, you know, we're not as emotional as, you know, media or fans, you know, might be on a given situation. We understand there's ebbs and flows. Some of the best teams in the country have 3, 4, 5, 6 losses. You'll see that in a situation like this year where you have, I'm sure, you know, teams that advance well in the tournament that might have double-figure losses. So it's part of it. But we certainly had to get to the work of trying to figure out how to perform, what we could do to perform better. And, you know, I think we've done that certainly in stretches here in February.
Chris Holtmann is my guest right now on CBS Sports Radio, head men's basketball coach in his third year at Ohio State. That Maryland victory over the weekend, it was coming off the defeat to Iowa where you guys lost 85-76. How about, what do you take from that Maryland victory? As we know, right now, the best team from a record standpoint in your conference.
Well, yeah, it was good for us. Obviously, playing at home helped. It was a really good win against an outstanding Maryland team that I think can really advance deep into the tournament and perform. Will perform exceptionally well. It was a really good win for us, and I think we were able to be pretty efficient on both ends. Defensively, we still need to take some strides moving forward here, but it was certainly a good win. You know, this time of year, you don't make too much of any one particular win or loss. I think you just move forward with your group and try to move on to the next game and figure out how to continue to grow, and that's what we're trying to do. We've got a road game next against a Nebraska team that's played very, very well at home. So we're just trying to move on to the next thing.
You know, injuries are a part of this sport, and unfortunately Kyle Young knows that, you know, a few times, you know, had that ankle injury. Yep. Over the weekend. How is Kyle doing?
He's doing okay. Kyle's a really, really important part of what we're doing. He's a young man who, you speak of the West Virginia game earlier or late in December, he had an appendectomy right after that. He was having some stomach pain. That took him out for a significant part of January, and that was a reason why we struggled a little bit, certainly a factor. But bottom line, I'm not sure right now what his timetable is going to be. Frustrating for him that he's had so many issues like this. Kyle's a guy that's been really, really important for us, particularly in the stretch that we played well in February. So we'll see when we'll be able to get him back.
And where's EJ's game at, EJ Liddell?
Good. Yeah, EJ's performed really well. He continues to grow and get better. He obviously had a big offensive night at Iowa where he led us in scoring. We're just super excited about him and his growth and, you know, what he's going to be for us moving forward. Particularly, you know, he's a guy that we're really going to lean on moving forward to both at the end of this year and certainly into his sophomore year, to be a guy who's going to score the ball for us and rebound at a high level.
What was the key for Luther Muhammad up against Maryland?
You know, I think just as much as anything, he saw a few shots go in. You know, for Luther, I think guys can get too tied up into their offense. As long as he's taking good shots, his bread and butter is always going to be his impact on the game defensively. And he certainly had a really big, really good effort. And he just so happened he was able to knock down some shots in this particular game as well. So it was good to see. Now we got to see if we can take some of that offensive efficiency on the road with us.
It's also got to be pretty neat to coach two brothers, right, in the Wesson brothers?
Yeah, you know, it's a first for me as a head coach. And Andre and Caleb have a great rapport. They really do. They play like brothers in terms of they see each other early. It's been, you know, they're both tough kids, talented players. It's been a lot of fun coaching them.
And, Coach, I got about a minute left. You're in your third year at Ohio State. What have you learned since taking over this program?
You know, I think you learn every year. You're always trying to tweak and change. You know, I had a wonderful situation at Butler before I came
sure.
here and was incredibly grateful for that. And we had a we had a nice run going to the tournament three straight years and going to the Sweet 16, and then had a fun first year here with a team that people didn't expect much of, but we had some really older, talented guys that performed really well, won 25 games. You know, we felt really good. You know, we've been able to go to the tournament here our first couple years, and hopefully that'll be the case as well this year. So when you're taking over a program, to be able to have some consistency with playing games that really matter in February, March, I think will help us continue to help us moving forward as we grow the program.
Well, Coach, it's been fun to watch your team and fun to watch the conference. Keep up the great work, and we'll chat with you throughout this dance in March Madness. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it, Zach. Take care.
There's Chris Holtmann from the number 23 Ohio State Buckeyes. Very tough team with some of those victories earlier in the season, like we're talking about. Them went through the losing streak and now back in the winning conversation. A huge victory for them on Sunday up against Maryland. Now we'll see how they'll respond to the adversity of Kyle Young's ankle injury. When we come back, a lot of quarterback conversation from the combine.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.